Well, this is a big one for me, snakes. It's a big one. I'm afraid of a few things, but I think my biggest fear in life is probably snakes, just being honest with you. If you ask my boys, what is your dad's biggest fear, they'll just immediately say snakes. I can't even look at a picture of a snake, and not even a cute, cartoony picture. They just give me the heebie-jeebies. They really do. In fact, we sometimes, their whole lives, when we watch TV, they may say, Dad, don't look, because there's some snake on TV. So they're really protective of me like that. I just can't do it. There's always a risk of opening up and telling a group of people your biggest fear like that. I'm taking a risk. Someone always wants to be funny, throw a rubber snake at you. You know, that happened one time at another church. And so please don't do that. I am 60 now, and the old ticker is not what it used to be, okay? So God made us in a way to be afraid of a few things. Fear is a legitimate thing that God gave us. We should fear some things. There are things that we should be afraid of and things that we probably shouldn't be afraid of. So I'm going to say there are healthy fears, things that are healthy to be afraid of. The Bible talks about a good, healthy fear of the Lord. But then there are things probably like snakes where I probably have an unhealthy fear. I'm probably across the line a little bit, and I'm probably a little too afraid of snakes. So I know there's no real reason for me to be terrified of snakes, but how many of you do share that with me and you're just really afraid of snakes? Okay, a lot of you. I promise I'm more afraid of them than any of you. Okay, I promise I am. There may not be a good, rational reason to be afraid of snakes. And I know that in my head, but I'm just afraid of them. And it's an unhealthy fear. I just can't stop being afraid of them. I've done research on it. There's a special word for people like me that fear. It's called ophidiophobia. If you have, those of you that raised your hand, a fear of snakes, you have ophidiophobia. How many of you have heard that word before? Ophidiophobia. All right, a couple of you have. That's when you have just this irrational, unhealthy fear of snakes. I have it. Many times, according to research, there's something in someone's past that has contributed to that. So maybe they had a scary encounter when they were a kid with a snake. Check. Maybe they had a parent who experienced this ophidiophobia. Yes, my mom did. In fact, Ron and I got to zip over to see Mom Sunday morning, Mountain View. She's doing great. And she was with another family friend. Hey, can I just tell you a funny story that I just thought of? Like you're going to say no. I'm going to tell you whether you. I met my sixth grade teacher who was really mean to me in sixth grade. Okay. Yes. And at first I thought she waved at me and she said her name and I thought that's familiar. Her face is familiar. And I thought, no. And then I realized you are the sixth grade teacher that was really mean to me. And I had to work through some things, but we had a great conversation, and we took a picture together. So that happened on Sunday. But anyway, my wife was there, but my mom and her friend were all at a table, and of all things, they start talking about snakes, right? I thought, I don't want to hear this. But they talked about how they are afraid. Is there a lot of calls? Is there something going on out here? Is there something? Okay. It doesn't bother me. I just want to know if we're safe, okay? It doesn't bother me a bit. So we start talking about snakes, and I'm thinking, that goes way back to my childhood. My mom was terrified of them, and I think she passed that on to me. Well, a lot of people also say, in addition to having experience with a snake or a parent, maybe you've seen a movie with them And I did. My cousins would drag me into a movie and or play a movie at the house, and it was just awful. So I have been really, truly terrified of snakes for a long time. Even a picture or a cartoon of a snake, I just can't do it. So one of the ways that God teaches us is through things that we can see, right? And I thought of three stories in the Bible that talk about snakes, and we're going to talk about two of them tonight. I thought of the story of Adam and Eve. There was a serpent in that story. We'll talk about that one. Then there is a story in Exodus where Moses, there were lots of people throwing down their staffs and they were turning into snakes. And we're not going to talk about that one. But then there's another story in the book of Numbers when Moses was told to make a serpent of brass and put it on a pole. So we're going to talk about the one in Genesis and the one in Numbers. So God does that. He takes things that we know something about or that we're afraid of or that we can experience in life, and he uses those things to teach us these deep, important, life-changing spiritual truths. And we're going to learn. We're not going to maybe get over our fear of snakes. I've taught these stories a few times, and I'm still afraid of snakes. But when I see I come in contact with a story about a snake, it brings to my mind some important stories that really have great life-changing takeaways. In fact, these two takeaways from these two stories, I don't know of any two more important takeaways in all of life. How's that sound? And we're going to learn that through stories of a snake. Now, let's start in the Garden of Eden. Hey, that was a great spot, a Garden of Eden. God put two people in a perfect environment, and everything was good. They had one responsibility. Well, I know they named all the animals, and they had one job, and that was don't eat of a tree. Well, what happens is the serpent shows up and tricks them and gets them to eat of the wrong tree. He tempts them and gets them to do that. The Garden of Eden was paradise on earth. It was the perfect season setting. When Eve would tell Adam he was the best-looking guy ever, it's all she had, right? So she wasn't lying. He had no competition. He could have even looked like me and still been the best-looking guy on earth. It was perfect. There were two important trees in the middle of the garden. One was the tree of life. That was an okay tree. But then there was that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and God said, don't eat of that fruit. Okay, let's look at Genesis 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree thou mayest freely eat. In other words, you can have anything you want except, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So they could eat of any tree freely and often, whenever they wanted, but one. They were not allowed to eat of this tree. If they decided to disobey God and eat of this tree, some damaging things would happen. They have been warned. Okay. Genesis 3, look who shows up. Now the serpent, that's the first snake in the Bible. The serpent was much more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of any tree of the garden. So he shows up and it's like, did God really say that? Did God really mean that? You think there might be it probably would be okay. So he tempted them in some different ways. The forbidden fruit was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and it would give them understanding. It would give them knowledge or make them wise. You know, the serpent tries to trick us the same ways today. We might see something that we know is wrong. It looks good. It tastes good. It feels good. And he will trick us and make us think that we'll get some sense of empowerment or understanding. Adam and Eve really blew it, right? Hey, I've been there. I have blown it. I've done some things that were wrong. I have made a lot of mistakes in my life. Have you ever had a time when you have just blown it, amen? And you just know that you've done the wrong things. As soon as they bit into the fruit, they realized what they had done was wrong. They believed a lie from the enemy. That's a good way to describe what sin is. Sin is when I believe a lie from the enemy. I think things will be better if I disobey what God says. I'll feel better. I'll have a better life. I'll see things better. It's all lies. It's what sin is. And what Adam and Eve sinned, they believed their lives could be better, and they bit into the fruit and realized the mistake, and the enemy tricked them. That's the first thing I learned from studying this story. Here's the first takeaway, and that's I have an enemy that's trying to trick me. You have an enemy that's trying to trick you. So just understand that. Understand that everything that you see may not be as good or as pleasant as it may seem to be. You do have an enemy that's trying to trick you. Now, I don't know what the serpent exactly looked like in Genesis 3. Lots of different ideas on that one. I don't know if he looked more like a person or looked like a snake, like we know a snake. I don't know. But I think that the takeaway is the same. No matter what he looked like, our takeaway is we do have an enemy who wants to trick us and trip us and make things look good that aren't good. So just be cautious. I'm not saying be real skeptical or be pessimistic. Not saying that. Just be cautious and line everything up what you believe God has for you. Then you'll be in good ground. Okay, let's look at the next one. Let's go to the book of Numbers and verse chapter 21. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. They're really grumbling. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of the people of Israel died. Now, believe it or not, this story is going to go right hand in hand with that last one that we just talked about. I talked about this story about a year ago in the main service on a Sunday morning. I did 4 messages in May. I think this might have been my first message in May. So we're coming up on the exact year anniversary where I talked about this across the street. Everyone in this camp that we just read about has a big problem. And the problem is the snakes are biting all the people. So just imagine for a moment, and if I can get myself to give you this example, because it's kind of giving me creepies right now. Let's imagine if there are a few snakes going around and they're just biting us. That's what happened to them, just going around biting people. And they're biting everyone. They're not just picking people with hats on or people with green shirts on or people that have big problems, or people that have little problems, or just people who are 20 and older. They're biting everybody. Everyone has this same problem of snake venom, right? Snake is biting everyone, and suddenly all the people need a solution. They need something that will help them survive, right? Or you could say it, to be saved from this problem. The snakes didn't look for special people. They just looked for people, right? If you were a person, You got bit. They bit everyone. So this goes back to what we talk about in Genesis 3. There was a serpent who showed up and met with Adam and Eve. And once that enemy had finished and the smoke cleared, the entire human race was infected by something called sin. Nobody. We're like that camp. All of us have been infected by the serpent in Genesis 3, just like they were in Numbers, by something called sin. Every person who's ever lived has been snake bit, so to speak, right? I want you to look around, look at a person. Whoever you're looking at, we've all been snake bit. All the great people who've ever lived, Billy Graham, okay, Mother Teresa, everyone has been snake bitten except one. Jesus was never snake bitten. He was perfect. He was the Son of God that came to earth. And the reason he did that was so he could pay for all of our snake bites, right? He did that so we could be delivered from the problem that we all have. Okay, look at Romans 5:12. Paul says this in maybe a little bit different way, but here's what he says. Wherefore, as by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men because all have sinned. We all have sinned. The best people we've ever known, the worst people, we're still maybe good people, but we still have something called sin. Everyone needs an antidote. Everyone needs a Savior. Now look what Moses did back in Numbers 21. And the Lord said to Moses, here's what you do, Moses. Make a fiery serpent. Set it up on a pole. And he makes the serpent out of brass, we find out later. Set it up on a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when you look on it, is going to live. So God made a way, right? God made a way. And this way was available to everybody. Anyone who looked upon that pole and saw the serpent could live. Now, it was just one way. You couldn't do it your own way. You couldn't go over here and protest against the snakes. That wouldn't do it. You couldn't, that wouldn't get rid of the problem. You had to do it God's way. Look upon the serpent and you will live. Okay, look at one more verse tonight, John 3:14. This is a time what Jesus told Nicodemus about this story. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, that's Numbers 21, we just read it, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So Jesus is saying, hey, you know what I want you to do? I want you to think back to that story when Moses made that serpent of brass and put it on a pole, and that's going to show you something about Jesus. And it does. It shows us that when we look up at the Savior on the cross, just like they looked at that serpent of brass, we can get deliverance from our snake bite, so to speak. Here is what we can learn. Here's tonight's takeaway. And I think this is the most important takeaway you'll ever hear. And it's, I have a Savior who wants to deliver me from the enemy. Okay, the first takeaway is we do have an enemy that wants to trick us. But never forget, we have a Savior who wants to deliver us from the enemy. And he proved that by coming to the world and dying for us, dying for our sins, so that he paid the price that we do not have to. We accept his payment for our sins, and that's how we get deliverance. So tonight we've learned that we have an enemy who wants us to disobey God, and also we have a Savior who wants to deliver us from the enemy. So when I think of snakes, as scary as they are to me, as terrified as I am, hey, I can remember these two things that snakes teach me in the Bible. I'm still afraid of them, Boy, these are beautiful things that will always be the most important things that I can learn. Father, we love you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you came to earth and paid a price, and that you made yourself available to us. Lord, I admit to you tonight, I'm still afraid of snakes. I am. And I don't know if I will ever not be afraid of them. But Lord, when I think of them, I know these two things, that there was an old serpent that tricked Adam and Eve, and I know he's trying to trick us. And Lord, also, I know from Numbers 21 that you paid a great price for our sins. And we love you, Lord, for that. And we know you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a surprise tonight. I have a surprise. There is ice cream on the way out. So if you go outside and I think maybe to the left, we have ice cream for you on the way out as a treat. And let's give Sherry a hand for putting that together. Yes. Is that it? Okay, you're dismissed. Go get some ice cream, okay? Go get some ice cream.